Welcome to Her Story, a project by Chick History. I'm your host, Rebecca Price. For 1 year, we asked 50 contemporary women to share the story of the historical woman who has inspired her. Join us every week for a new story of inspiration, from the headliners to the lesser-known gems.
Dust off the books, read all the letters, preserve with time. Dig out the truth written between the lines. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.
Joining us today for her story number 15 is Dr. Cindy Guelli. Cindy is a writer, teacher, filmmaker, and historical consultant who primarily writes and lectures on American social and cultural history, Washington, D.C., film, television, and women and gender. She has taught at American University, the Washington Center, and Montgomery College. Before becoming a historian, Cindy worked as a reporter and producer for news, public television, and documentaries. She is currently completing the book Lipstick Brigade, Government Girls in World War II Washington, about the unheralded wartime adventures of the 250,000 young women who flocked to the nation's capital. To learn more about Cindy and her work, you can visit her website, cindyguelli.com. That's G-U-E-L-I. Cindy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rebecca. I'm so excited to be part of the project.
Well, which woman in history have you chosen to share with us today?
Dr. Martha Settle Putney. She was an historian, author, and in one of the first groups of African-American women to serve in the U.S. Army. I came across her in the research for my book on government girls in World War II, and I just couldn't forget her.
Well, please tell us all a little bit about Martha Putney.
Martha was born in 1916 and grew up in Norristown, Pennsylvania, one of eight kids, big family. Her father was a laborer. And even though all of the kids helped with the family finances by taking odd jobs, collecting trash, cleaning people's kitchens, time was always set aside for homework, and they were all encouraged to get the best education that they could. And Martha lived in one of the wealthiest counties in America at that time. But even so, she realized early on that opportunities for African Americans were limited, to say the least. Women worked mostly as domestics, and the only black man in town to work on the county payroll, the one who went to work dressed up and was honored and respected in the community, was a janitor who spent his days in overalls cleaning the brass, shoveling snow, sweeping the sidewalks at the courthouse. Martha decided that she wanted more than that, and she was determined to leave the town, go to college, and become a teacher. She saved money for school, but it was only enough for 1 year at Howard University. So she offered to campaign in the black community for a local Republican congressional candidate, even though she was a Democrat, because he had the best chance of winning. And he won. And then he helped her get a scholarship to finance the rest of her education. She went to Howard and earned her bachelor's degree in history and education in 1939, and her master's degree in European history a year later. And then she couldn't get a job. The Washington, D.C. school system was dominated by a small, close political network, and Martha was apparently not connected to the right people. So Martha switched gears, and she took the civil service exams and became a government girl, working for the War Manpower Commission. Her supervisors recognized her talents enough to have her soon train other statistical clerks, but she was paid as an assistant stock clerk and was blatantly told she'd never be promoted because of her race. So once again, Martha looked for better opportunities, and she found them when she enlisted in the Women's Army Corps in 1943. But only under the condition that she would be commissioned as an officer. And the Army agreed. After basic training, Martha helped train women recruits at Fort Des Moines and eventually got a choice assignment leading a group of medical technicians at a Women's Army Corps hospital in Chicago. But the women's units in the Army were segregated by race, and Martha helped initiate what she called desegregation days in the mess hall. On weekends, the women did not have to sit in formation with their units. So the Black women in Martha's unit decided that one Saturday, they would sit individually anywhere they wanted. A couple of white women did pick up their trays and move, but by Sunday, every Black company on base got the message of what happened and did the exact same thing. From then on, weekend meals were integrated. Martha took a similar stand with the base swimming pool. Black recruits were allowed to swim with their units only on Fridays, after which they cleaned the pool. And this infuriated Martha. Only one Black unit, filled with struggling women who were having problems with basic training, had both Black and white recruits in it. So Martha saw her chance. She told those Black women to swim with their unit. And after that, the rules became more relaxed and women basically swam whenever they wanted. So she integrated the pool. After many other egregious instances of racism in the Army, including letting German POWs into the officers' club, but barring African American officers from even entering, Martha thought about requesting a discharge. But she stayed so she could help the other women and fight the injustices that she saw. After the war, Martha briefly went back to work for the federal government, where she met and married her husband, and then took advantage of the GI Bill to get her PhD in European history from the University of Pennsylvania. And she finally became a history professor, fulfilling that dream she had of being a teacher from when she was little. And she spent almost 20 years at Bowie State University, some of those as chairwoman of the department, and another 9 years at her alma mater at Howard University. And she was apparently a tough teacher. Students knew that if they took her class, they'd have to work hard. She tried to teach them that both inside and outside the classroom, they'd have to be tough and smart and driven to succeed. After she retired, she started writing and editing books about African-American experiences in the U.S. military. One of them chronicled Black women who served in the Army during World War II, which was greatly influenced by her own life. Martha died at the age of 92 in 2008, and at that time, she was working on her fourth book. Because of her military service, she's buried at Arlington National Cemetery. Tom Brokaw, who profiled Martha in his book, The Greatest Generation, gave her eulogy, and retired General Colin Powell was also there to honor her.
Now, what is it about Martha that you find to be inspirational?
Martha's a model for me, and I think for everyone, on how to create a life of passion, integrity, service, and persistence. Martha had such a strong belief in herself that she refused to listen to the people who told her she couldn't succeed. She asked for what she wanted in life. She found ways to make her dreams a reality. When she hit roadblocks, she went around them, and she found new and even better opportunities for herself and for others. This one woman stood up to injustice in her own very quiet but effective way. She wanted more out of life, knew she could do more, that she deserved more, and she went out and she got it. She defined her life on her own terms. To me, she actually epitomizes Joseph Campbell's archetypal mythological heroes. She left where she came from, went on adventures, tested herself, slayed dragons, gained wisdom, and then returned it and shared it and taught it to others. And Martha never stopped learning, developing her talents and trying new things. Even at 92, she was still creating, still sharing, still working. Martha's story reminds me that we're all capable of much more than we think we are. And that no matter what happens, to just keep moving forward.
And do you have one book that you would recommend to listeners to go out and get so they can start learning more about her?
Her book on women in World War II, When the Nation Was in Need, Blacks in the Women's Army Corps during World War II. It's not a biography. It's what she wrote about the women of the time, but it is so influenced by her personal experiences that you learn about her and you learn about those experiences and her scholarship. So you really get a sense of her.
Well, there you have it for Martha Putney. Cindy, thank you so much for sharing her story with us.
Thanks, Rebecca.
To learn more about her story and other projects by Chick History, you can visit the website chickhistory.com. And please join us every week for another story of an inspirational woman in history.
I'm here to tell a story, something precious and fine, about a woman who made a difference with her life. She might not be known, but to only a few, her story remembered here is gonna change that view. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten. Her story not forgotten.